This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to this, another episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers, with me, your host, Fatima Barakatullah. We said in the last episode that during the incident of the camel, Aisha radiallahu anha had taken her hawdaj into the thick of the fighting, into the thick of the battle, so that people would come to their senses and stop fighting. Ali radiallahu anhu was very concerned that the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was being put in such a position of danger, and he wanted to bring her to safety. And so, you know, things got so dangerous that the hawdaj of Aisha, the little tent that was on top of the camel, that was very recognizable by all of the Muslims, it ended up looking, they said, like a hedgehog because of all the arrows that had, you know, flown and hit the hawdaj in the thick of the battle. It's even narrated that at one point, before the fighting had broken out, Ali had said to Talha, "How could you bring the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam out here while your wife is safe at home?" This shows you the concern that Ali radiallahu anhu had for our mother Aisha. So we said that Ali radiallahu anhu's side had hit the back legs of the camel of Aisha radiallahu anha, in order to make the camel fall and then to be able to bring our mother Aisha to safety, and also perhaps as a way to end the fighting so that the Muslims would come to their senses. So the camel came crashing down, and Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, Aisha's brother, came rushing to take his sister to safety. The battle stopped at that point, because people were so ashamed when they saw the hawdaj of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha falling down. Now, Ali radiallahu anhu made sure that Aisha was returned to her home safely, and he even had 40 women from his family and women from the noble women of Basra accompany her back. This is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had once told him that something would happen between him and Aisha radiallahu anhu. And when the Prophet had told him that, Ali had said to him, "If that happens, then surely I'm the one who's in the wrong." You know, he couldn't imagine such a situation ever happening. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had advised him, "No, but when that happens, return her home safely." And so Ali saw it as his duty to make sure that our mother Aisha returned home safely. You know, when it comes to the Sahaba, we know that they were the best human beings to walk on this earth. But they were not infallible, and they were not free from going through trials and tribulations. And they were human. And so when we read about the humanness of the Sahaba, when we hear about the difficult situations they faced, on the one hand, we see the courage of Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, that she was so moved to action for justice and what she believed in. We see her immense influence over the believers. And on the other hand, we see Ali radiallahu anhu and his duty to keep order in his caliphate. One of the things that we should have no doubt about is that whatever happened at the time of the Sahaba, each of them acted in good faith, and each of them wanted the best for the Ummah. When our mother Aisha returned to Medina, you can just imagine her being in deep reflection after the terrible events that had just preceded. But instead of falling into despair or disappearing, Aisha radiallahu anha took that same energy that she had, those same talents, that same passion, and she changed course. She took her influence and personality and channeled them into another direction. She decided to focus her efforts on teaching the Sunnah. Ali radiallahu anhu made Aisha's brother, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, the governor of Egypt. One of the things that sadly happened was only 2 years later, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr was killed by one of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu's men. His name was Muawiyah ibn Hudayj, and this was in Egypt. And this Muawiyah ibn Hudayj, he ended up becoming a governor there in Egypt. And some say that Muhammad bin Abi Bakr died in the battle. Others say that he was killed after the battle by Muawiyah ibn Hudayj. And yet we see that, of course, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha would have been sad to hear of the death of her brother. And yet years later, there was a traveler who came to Aisha radiallahu anha from Egypt. He said, "I came to Aisha and asked her about something. And she said, 'Where are you from?' I said, 'I'm from Egypt.' She said, 'What was the behavior of your governor towards you in this latest war of yours?' I said, 'We did not experience anything bad from him. If a camel of one of our men died, he would give him another camel. If any one of us lost his slave, he would give him another slave. If anybody was in need of the basic necessities of life, he would provide them with provisions.'" And so look at the way our mother Aisha commented on this. She said, "The treatment that was meted out to my brother Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr does not prevent me from telling you what I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, 'In this house of mine, O Allah, whoever gains some kind of control over the affairs of my people and is hard upon them, be hard upon him. And whoever gains some kind of control over the affairs of my people and is kind to them, be kind to him.'" So in other words, our mother Aisha was saying that if this Muawiyah is kind to the people, as you're saying, then Allah will be kind to him. Imam An-Nawawi says, commenting on this hadith, that this indicates that we should mention the virtues of people and not refrain from doing so because we dislike them. Subhanallah. Aisha's other brother, Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, he was also openly against the Umayyads, as was Abdullah bin Zubayr, her nephew, right? Aisha radiallahu anha would continue to exhort Muawiyah when he became the caliph, and she was not afraid of criticizing him. She was also very disdainful of the Khawarij, the group who had killed Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. She used to call them Haruriya, as they had originated from a village called Harura near Kufa. And of course, she was very sad and upset at the killing of Ali radiallahu anhu. But I think by that time, she had realized and decided that she would not leave her house for any political cause again. Although she did send letters to various leaders, and she would send advice, and she would correct them whenever she felt it was necessary. Once Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu wrote to Aisha when he was caliph, asking for advice. She wrote back and she said, "I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, 'He who tries to please Allah, not caring for the displeasure of the people, will be protected by Allah against people's malice. But he who pleases people at the cost of Allah's displeasure will be left by Allah at the mercy of the people.'" So you can see that she became like an advisor to leaders. She became an advisor for the Muslims. She was against the fact that Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan had started getting people to give the pledge of allegiance to his son Yazid even before he had died. Muawiyah complained to her that some of the menfolk in her relatives, we already mentioned Abdullah bin Zubair, and there was Abdul Rahman as well, bin Abi Bakr, that they were not complying with him. They were not giving the pledge of allegiance to his son Yazid. And she was very diplomatic, and she advised Muawiyah, don't force them against their will. Once there was an incident when Marwan bin al-Hakam, who was a governor of Hijaz, the Arabian Peninsula, Mecca and Medina area, he was appointed by Muawiyah. When he came to Medina, and he came to ask people to make the pledge of allegiance to Yazid the son of Muawiyah. And he gave this speech in the masjid, and he described giving the pledge of allegiance to Yazid like following the sunnah of Abu Bakr and Umar. Meaning, he was saying that, you know, Abu Bakr and Umar, they had appointed successors after them, and that's all that Muawiyah is doing. This is the point that he was trying to make. But of course, it was very different to the way Abu Bakr and Umar had operated. And so Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, Aisha's brother, who was in the audience, he stood up, especially when he heard his father's name being invoked, right? And he said, no, this is not the sunnah of Abu Bakr and Umar. This is the sunnah of Heraclius and Kisra. Subhanallah. Marwan got very angry, and he sent his police or his men after Abdul Rahman, who fled. He ran and ran. And where do you think he hid? What was the safest place for him to hide in? Inshallah, after the break, I'm going to let you know where that safe place was. You can see that the Sahaba were very uncomfortable with the way that the Ummah was becoming almost like a kingdom, where one leader would try to get his own son to become the next leader. Inshallah, I'll see you after the break, and I will let you know where Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr hid. Welcome back. So we said that Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, he objected to Marwan bin al-Hakam, saying that pledging allegiance to Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, was like following the sunnah of Abu Bakr and Umar. And Marwan bin al-Hakam got very angry, sent his men after Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr. Where do you think Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr hid? Of course, it was the house of his sister Aisha. Aisha actually allowed him in, because obviously he was her mahram, and hid him in her house. And no one, however kind of far away from the sunnah they were, would ever dare to enter the house of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, because she was Ummul Mu'mineen. It would have been considered a transgression against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Marwan bin al-Hakam, he decided, because he felt helpless, he couldn't enter the house of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, he couldn't make Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr come out, he decided to quote the ayah of the Quran against Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr. What he did was, he said, this ayah of the Quran, وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ أُفِّلْ لَكُمَا, in Surah Al-Ahqaf, ayah number 17, he said, this was revealed about this wretched man, talking about Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr. And now Aisha radhiyallahu anha could not, you know, control herself. She couldn't stay quiet. She said from behind the screen, Allah did not reveal anything from the Quran about us, the family of Abu Bakr, except what was connected with the declaration of my innocence from the slander. Subhanallah. Our mother Aisha was always very protective over knowledge and very protective over the Quran and any kind of misinformation being spread about it. So, you know, we see that apart from such incidents, our mother Aisha mostly focused upon her return to Medina on becoming a teacher, teaching, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, protecting the sunnah from blameworthy innovations. And she spent her time in worship and charity. She was very particular about going on Hajj as much as she could, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to her that the jihad for women was Hajj. When she would go on Hajj, her tent was known, as the place where everyone would try to come and gather. People from different lands thronged to her tent to find answers to their questions. She would be very kind to the people who came to ask her questions, and she would say, "You can freely ask me any question, just like you would ask your own mother." It seems that although she had moved out of the apartment in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar were buried, she continued to teach from her apartment or the apartment next to it. So girls, boys, and her mahrams, they would sit inside the room, you know, without a curtain between her and them. And others who were not mahrams would sit in the courtyard of the mosque with a curtain in between. The scholars of Islam have praised our mother Aisha radiallahu anha for her knowledge. The scholar Al-Hakim, he said, "A quarter of knowledge came to us through Aisha." Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari said, "As companions of the Messenger of Allah, whenever we came across a complicated issue, we took it to Aisha because she always had some information about it that could solve the difficulty." And Hisham bin Urwa, he said, "I did not see anyone more well-informed than Aisha in medicine, in fiqh or poetry." Other scholars said about her that Aisha was the most intelligent, scholarly person and the one who had the best thoughts and opinions amongst people. And about her eloquence and her ability to articulate, Al-Ahnaf bin Qais said, "I heard the sermons of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, and all other caliphs up until today. Yet, from them I did not hear such fluent, beautiful utterances as I heard from Aisha." SubhanAllah. So she was a teacher who people really sought. They went to Medina and they would want to go and spend some time in the presence of our mother Aisha, learning something from her. But she also had regular students, students who then later became very, very prominent. Our mother Aisha had hundreds of students. Because she was so eloquent, because she had so much special knowledge, people, when they came to Medina, would flock to her house and want to spend some time in her presence. Some of her most famous students are ones that I'm going to mention now. She had some very key students, many of whom were her own nephews and nieces, and she gave a lot of special attention, especially to the orphans of Medina. Remember that she had spent 9 years with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had been very, very young, so she had absorbed so much from him, and she'd asked him so many questions and heard other people come and ask him so many questions. So she was a master of the Sunnah. She was a master of tafsir, of explanation of the Quran, right? And of fiqh, of understanding and applying the knowledge from the Quran and Sunnah. Now it was time for her to pass this on. Some of her most outstanding students were Urwa bin Az-Zubayr. Urwa bin Az-Zubayr, he was Abdullah ibn Az-Zubayr's brother, right, and Aisha's nephew. He was the son of Asma. He became one of the seven major jurists of Medina, the seven fuqaha of Medina. And they said that he gained so much knowledge from her because he could easily enter and exit her presence, right? Because he was her mahram, he could access her whenever he wanted. And he said that in the last years of Aisha's life, he himself had thought, if our mother Aisha passes away, there is no hadith in her treasure trove of knowledge that I do not know. So he was very famous, and you'll notice when you read the books of hadith that so many of the ahadith of Aisha radiallahu anha have reached us through Urwa bin Az-Zubayr. Another one of her nephews, who was one of her most prominent students, is Qasim bin Muhammad. He was the son of none other than Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Now, Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr had been killed, right, in Egypt, as we mentioned. So Qasim was one of the orphans who Aisha radiallahu anha brought up. She took him under her wing. He also became a great scholar of the Sharia and one of the seven major fuqaha of Medina. Another one of Aisha radiallahu anha's prominent students was Amra bint Abdurrahman. She was from the Ansar, and actually she was related, I think, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's maternal side of the family. And she was a brilliant student who was very loved by Aisha radiallahu anha. She would write letters on Aisha's behalf, and she was assigned later by the Caliph Umar bin Abdul Aziz to critically examine any hadiths or opinions being collected during his reign to correct them. And when she passed away, people said, after Amra's death, no one remains who knew Aisha's hadith knowledge as much as her. Subhanallah. She was also known as the most knowledgeable person regarding Aisha's knowledge, but also the one who comprehended her knowledge the most. She understood the fiqh in Aisha radiallahu anha's knowledge. And she had also sought knowledge from other companions. They said about Amra, for example, Qasim bin Muhammad, he said to Az-Zuhri, the scholar Az-Zuhri, who had just come as a student, he said, do you want me to show you a vessel full of knowledge? He said, yes. He said, go to Amra bint Abdurrahman because she was educated specially by Aisha. Zuhri said, after he went to Amra, he said, I realized she was like an ocean where it was impossible to reach the bottom. Another one of Aisha radiallahu anha's prominent students was Abu Salma bin Abdurrahman bin Auf, the son of the great Sahabi. He was also an orphan brought up by Aisha. And again, he grew up to be one of the seven jurists of Medina and a great scholar of hadith. And the final student of Aisha that we're going to mention here is Aisha bint Talha. Who do you think Aisha bint Talha was? She was the daughter of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, right? The great Sahabi who was killed at the time of the incident of the camel. And of course, he was Aisha radiallahu anha's brother-in-law. He was married to Aisha's youngest sister, Umm Kulthum. So Aisha bint Talha was the daughter of Talha and Umm Kulthum. She was Aisha's niece. And Aisha radiallahu anha, again, took her under her wing. And Aisha bint Talha became like a secretary to Aisha radiallahu anha. She used to do, you know, writing for her and any kind of jobs that needed to be done to assist our mother Aisha. She was raised by our mother Aisha. She was also known, Aisha bint Talha, for her beauty. And the first time she got married, she married Abdullah bin Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr, her cousin. And then Mus'ab ibn Az-Zubair, who was the Amir of Iraq, who gave her a huge dowry, 100,000 dinars. She was known as the most beautiful woman of her time. And so later on, even her third husband, he gave her a dower of 1,000,000 dinar. Subhanallah, she was known for her huge dowers. And she narrates a lot of ahadith from Aisha radiallahu anha, especially about sawm, virtues, and qadr. Our mother Aisha not only taught knowledge, but she admired women who sought knowledge. She said, how great are the women of the Ansar. Their modesty does not prevent them from seeking knowledge about their religion. Inshallah, in the next episode, we're going to carry on looking at the fiqh of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Until then, jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.